Good afternoon. Well, who went to camp this year? There's a lot of hands, right? There's a lot of us. There's actually some at camp this week. We have the McKeons are at camp. I know Nikki. Oh, no, he's right here. I see him. He's not at camp. But I know that some are away. We got to hear some of the teens talk about what they learned at camp, some of the things they saw. Well, I went there as well, to Camp High Sierra, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I learned at camp. Camp is a very fun time, and we heard some of that. There's activities from morning to night, nonstop, and you're exhausted at the end of the day. But it's a good exhaustion. And it's fun. I helped run the challenge course, which was like an obstacle course, and also fishing. So it was a great time. But even though we're doing all these activities and it's so much fun, it's a constant focus on God and God's way of life. We actually, even before the obstacle course or fishing, we would discuss the topics of the day. There was a theme of camp, and then every day there was a topic that we discussed. And we would talk about that. And it wasn't like a sermon or a sermonette before we went fishing, but it was just a short time that we talked about these things. And it was a constant thing with all of our activity. God was the focus of what we were doing. We also, my wife and I, we were dorm parents for G1. Amari and Kennedy and Zoe were all there in G1, and it was a great time for us. We got to go meet with them during meals, and we'd go meet with them in the evening and discuss some issues or questions they had. It's a very great week. It's a week full of support for everybody, and it's really away from a lot of the dangers and pulls of society. There's no cell phones allowed there, no computers. Not that those things are bad necessarily, but it they can distract you. There's things that come through the internet and all that pull us away from thinking about God and God's way of life. So it's very centered on that. It's a great week. Not everything's perfect. There's issues, but that support system's so strong that you feel that you know God's there, and you know that you will get through them. It's a very positive environment for personal growth. The best way to explain it is really maybe the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, or even the Spring Holy Days, a time when you are focused on God and His ways, and you're dedicated at that time, and you say to yourself, there's nothing that's going to pull me away from God and from doing what's right. That's really what camp is. And it's as much for the teens as the adults that go there as well. The lessons there, they're for everyone. They apply to us all, and I'm going to tell you about one of them today. On Tuesday, the lesson for that day was choose God's blessing. Choose God's blessings. And I had the opportunity to go speak to B1 and G1 about this. So there'll be some review for you that went to camp. And the rest of you can hear one of the things that we talked about while they're at Camp High Sierra. So that lesson was choose God's blessings. Choose God's blessings. We're going to see that we all face this choice every day. Every day of our lives. I'm going to jump into point one here. And we can turn over to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. My first point is that God sets a choice before us and tells us to make the right choice. Now this scripture, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, was a memory scripture. And every morning, there was memory scriptures, and the whole camp would get together, and one of the dorms would start off and recite these scriptures. So I thought I'd have the teens stand up now and recite that for us all. Just kidding. Just kidding. Zoe was afraid. No, but it was a great thing. And the whole camp recites it together every morning at the flagpole. And it's a great way to start the day. So we'll go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, and we'll read that. It says, I call on heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. And that's what we focused on that day. And it was something that the entire camp was talking about. So if you speak to somebody who went to camp, you can bring this up as a topic. But life is about choices. There's choices made every day, right? There's important choices and there's non-important choices. You know, there's non-spiritual choices, maybe what you're going to eat for breakfast this morning or what color shirt you're going to put on, those kind of things, right? They don't matter. But there's important choices. There's spiritual choices that we also make every day. Now, how are we going to live our life? How do we treat other people? How are we treating ourselves? You know, what kind of things do we do for fun? And we discuss this at camp. You know, we discuss drug use, alcohol, abuse, you know, and the way we treat others. Maybe what we do on the Sabbath. Those are spiritual choices that we all make every day, and they're important. And camp put us in an atmosphere where it's very easy to make those decisions. You know, everybody's, for the most part, making the right decision, and they're on that same path. And it's a millennial-type setting, even like the Garden of Eden. Let's turn over to Genesis 3, verse 1, and we'll look at this example. This is about Adam and Eve, and they were in a similar environment, right? Things were good. They were blessed. There was good food, physical blessings, positive relationships, all these things that makes it easy to make the right choice. But we'll read about this in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat the tree of the garden? So here we are, we're in this perfect situation, and now there's some bad influence coming in. And it continues on, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. This is a lie. This is something we just heard about in the previous sermon here. And it represents the world. Somebody was saying something wrong here in this great situation that they were all in. It says, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And it continues on in verse 6. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here they are in this wonderful situation in the garden. But there's an influence that came in now. And all of a sudden it was not as easy to make that right choice. Right? And Eve used reasoning. She used her human reasoning to say, yeah, it looks good. It says it's pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise, and she ate it, right? It was a lie, and that outside influence came in, and she was deceived. And really, that's how it can be for us, coming back from camp, coming back from the holy days, where, you know, you're so dedicated, and you're going to go this one path, and then all of a sudden, you know, things start creeping in. It could even be like that on a weekly Sabbath day, where at church here, you say, this is the way I'm going. I'm going to make these changes. I'm going to go this way in life. But then Sunday comes, and Monday when you're back at work or at school, and that influence starts creeping in on you. And we can make choices that we know God says we should not. And we're all free will agents. We have the ability to choose life or choose that other way, the life of sin. And there's a very high cost if you make that decision. But God wants us to choose blessings, to choose life. He said that in Deuteronomy that we just read. And ultimately, to choose eternal life. So that brings us to point two. How do you know what the right choice is? Now, how do you know? I'm going to show you something here. And I just want you to read this sentence that's going to be up on the screen. Just read it, and you can write it down or remember it. And if you can't see it, if you're in the back or whatever the reason is, have the person next to you tell you what it says. Okay? Just read that sentence and write it down. Okay? It's only a few words. I showed this at camp. Now, that sentence actually came from a TV show called Brain Games. So that might give you a clue that your brain's doing something here. It's not always easy to tell what's right and when there's something wrong with the situation. Who read New York in the Spring? At first, some of you have already seen this because I showed it at camp. So you know, it doesn't say that. How could you? Of course it says that. Well, let's look at that again. It doesn't say New York in the Spring, right? Some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. It says New York in the Spring. Twice. Okay? So my point is, here's a simple sentence, a few words, and you couldn't tell there was something wrong with it. Right there in front of your face. You see something, and yeah, that's right. It's a simple sentence. And then, oh man, I missed something so easy. That was right there. Well, our brains do that. And actually, at camp, there's a camp song. And after I showed this to B1 and G1, my son came up, who was in B1, and said, "Dad, there's two thes in the camp song on one of the lines." And he showed it to me. And then I went to show my wife, and I couldn't find it. And I read through that song three times, and I could not find the two thes in that song. Right? It's your brain makes things seem right. That's what our brains do. You see something, and it wants to say that, yes, this is correct. So what does that mean for us? Let's turn over to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I actually use this at work, and two groups of people, no one saw the error in that sentence. So I'm glad I got some hands up here that some people also didn't see it, or it would have been awkward. So, good. But Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Right? So sometimes that's how it is. You know, we're in this scenario, we're talking about camp, or the feast days, and now we're back in the world. And what we think or feel, it's not always right. Right? Just like we can see a sentence, we think it's right, and it's not. There's something wrong with it. So what if you're unsure about what the right choice is? I mean, can we even make a right choice? We can. I'll give you a couple pointers on how to do that. And those three things, you can just write them down. How to make the right choice are going to be prayer, through prayer. Does the Bible support it? And did you ask for wise counsel? And we'll just hit those really quick here. And we're talking about, do you know what the right choice is? So if you need to make a decision, one of the things you can do is pray about it. You can turn over to Proverbs. real quick, or I'll just read it from my notes as well. There's a scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So if we're here, now we're back from camp, and we don't have necessarily the support system with us every day, you know, 24 hours a day. If we come up with a situation that we need direction in, pray about it. Ask God. And it says, trust in the Lord, and he will direct you. It's something we can all do. I'd like to also turn over to Acts 17 and verse 10. How do you know what the right choice is? So in this story, I like this story, and it shows people who are thinking and wanting to make the right decision. Paul was going around and preaching about Jesus Christ, and he came to this group of people in Acts 17, verse 10, and said, when he arrived there, Paul, they went to the Jewish synagogue, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. And then it says this, they searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul was teaching the truth. And then many of them believed at that point. So it's a good example. You want to know what the right choice is? Does the Bible support whatever decision you're making? Does it support it? If it doesn't, you know, it's probably not the right choice, and it's something you should consider not doing. All right, let's turn back over to Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Once again, we're discussing that point of how do you know what the right choice is. And Proverbs is full of ways to teach us how to make the right choice. This is just one of the verses. So Proverbs 12, verse 15, and it's about asking wise counsel. Ask people who know. It says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So you want to make a right choice? We're talking about choosing life, choosing God's blessings in life. It says ask. Ask people who know. Ask people who've been through life, lived more than you, and have some experience. You know, if you're trying to make a decision or you're going about your day and you wonder what somebody would think about it or say about it, you know, if what would the pastor say? Would he tell me this is a bad idea? Or, you know, your grandparents or whoever it might be that you respect as a wise person, what would they say about the decision you were going to make? You know, that wisdom is there, and God tells us to use it to make decisions. So ask wise counsel. Does the Bible support it? And prayer. All ways that we can use on a daily basis to make the right choice and to choose blessings and choose life that God wants us to. We're going to look at an example of a person who made the right choices. We're going to look at Josiah. Let's turn over to 2 Kings 22. This is an interesting story about King Josiah. And it was right at the end of Israel, before they were finally, Judah, and they were finally taken into captivity. So 2 Kings 22 and verse 1, and I'm going to kind of skim through this story here. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And then in verse 2 there it says something interesting. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So here he is. He's 8 years old, right? And we might say that's sometimes an excuse. We're not old enough. You know, we don't have the experience. You know, whatever our excuses are, he chose the right way starting at 8 years old, it appears here in this story. And it says, and he walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the left hand or the right. Now, something interesting happens in this story in verse 3. It says, now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah So now he's been king for 18 years. He's been doing what was right, it says. So he's 26 years old at this point. He's older. He's still a young guy. But a scribe went into, they found a book of the law. And we can read about that in verse 8. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So they gave it back and they brought it back to the king. Okay? They brought it back to the king, and in verse 10, it says, and they read it before the king. So continuing on in verse 11, it says, now when it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. He was hearing something new from God that he had not heard before. And it affected him. And he was saying, we're not doing things right here. So he's making a change. And my point is that applies to all of us, wherever we are. You know, he was trying to do what was right when he was young. He learned something new, and he learned, we got to do something different here. And he was growing. And because of this, he was blessed. And if we skip down to verse 15, basically this was brought to a prophetess, and she said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. So basically, what they're reading is God's judgment on Judah. Josiah's parents were the evil kings of Judah. They did the worst things. And God had said, that's it. You're done. You're going to be punished. The whole country is going to be punished. And they were going to be taken into Babylon. But in verse 18, it says something interesting. And we're in 2 Kings 22, verse 18. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourselves before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I bring on this place. So the whole country had been sentenced to be put into slavery and desolation. And he came from a bad family, you might say, who had terrible examples. But he made the right choice, right? Josiah made the right choice, and he was blessed for it. God said, you know what? You're going to live in peace, and these things aren't going to happen while you're alive. So God cares about your actions, my actions, all of our actions individually. We hear things about this country, the terrible things that it's doing. People say that we're doomed for destruction, and that may be. But God looks at your actions and the choices that you make. And he wants you to make that choice of choosing his blessings and choosing life. So if you follow that story, it goes on, and they actually celebrated some of the holy days, the Passover, and says it was celebrated like never before. So it was that story of King Josiah is a good example to us. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your family background was, you know, where you're from, what the country's doing. God wants us each individually to choose life, to choose those blessings. So why, we all have a good life for the most part. Why should you care about those choices on a daily basis? I mean, it doesn't seem to affect us. You know, and people say that I live a certain way and, it, you know, I don't have any problems. Well, let's look at a couple things. Back to Deuteronomy, I'll just read it, 30 verse 19. It says, he had set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Blessings and cursings. One of those blessings is talking about physical blessings, our life, how our life is because of choosing the right way. Let's turn over to Micah 3 and verse 10. And this scripture was also read at camp by Mr. Dowd. And it was actually mentioned by one of the teens here after camp. So in Micah 3, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then it says, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. So God's saying, try me in this. And it's a great thing to think. And the way to try God in this is to do what he says, to choose that way. Choose blessings and choose life and live his way. And we can make that decision on a daily basis. But God says that he will bless us for making the right decisions. And part of that is a physical life that we have. I'm going to also turn over to Philippians 2 and verse 12. This is much more than just physical blessings, right? We're not just doing this to get things and stuff and to have a good life. There's much more to it than that. Philippians 2 and verse 12. And starting in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do the will and to do for his good and pleasure. So it's talking about choosing God's blessings and choosing life is there to glorify God, to please God, and also be lights to the world. We can continue on here. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So one of those blessings is about being a light to this world. And we all have that opportunity. And it's based on the choices that we make every day. Even more than that, for us all individually, we have the opportunity to be children of God. And that's the ultimate goal for all of us. To be children of God, to have eternal life. And we affect each other as well. You know, if you look in that, back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, you don't need to turn there, but it says that you and your descendants may live. You and your descendants. So we affect each other. We're a family here. Here we are on the Sabbath. And we are each other's support. Just like at camp, We built each other up to go out and make the right decisions. Here we are today, continuing that process. So here we are. We're going back into the world, you might say, from camp. The camp took us away. The feast days took us away for a while. You know, it's been months now since those days. And here we are. We're at this time where we still need each other to make the right decision. We need to remember daily to choose God's blessings and choose life. Every day is a choice. And we must continue to support those who went to camp. You know, meet those people and talk about it and say, how are things going? Are you making those decisions? And discuss it with them. We are each other's support, and we are here to serve each other as brothers and sisters. Help each other to choose those blessings and choose life. If you ever had the opportunity to go to camp, you should take it. Whether you're a teen, whether you're an adult wanting to serve there, it's a great opportunity, something you'll never forget and you won't regret it. It's a true blessing to be there. It's also a blessing to come back and to know that God's way is true, it works, and that we all have the opportunity to choose life.